Hey, my name is Thomas. I am one of the people here on staff at The Well. I'm so glad that y'all are here this morning. If you remember, last week we started a brand new series, which we'll be walking through for most of the summer. It's going to be called From Sea to Sinai, where we're looking at the story of the people of God, as you can see, from the Red Sea to Sinai. Last week, JR led us through Exodus chapter 14. And if you did not get to watch that sermon, I highly recommend that you guys go back on YouTube and get that service. It'll really give you a better glimpse of where we are today. But where we are today, y'all, is just going to pick back up following that. So today we are going to be in Exodus chapter 15. Fun thing about Exodus chapter 15, y'all, is that it includes the first ever song recorded in the Bible. I love to sing. Some of you guys may know this about me. I love to sing. I always tell folks that if I had a little more discretionary income, I would open up a karaoke bar here in Abilene. So if any of you guys want to partner with me in that, just let me know. We can do that. But I love to sing. You'll catch me at Six Flags doing karaoke anywhere. Like I truly love to sing. And we see here in this song is known as Moses and Israel's song. Again, it's the first ever recorded song in the Bible. And so, like I told you guys, I love singing. If you were to look at my Spotify, you would see the names of Shane and Shane. You would see Maverick City, Phil Wickham, but also you would see names like Kirk Franklin. You would see names like BB and CC Winans. Does anybody know who those people are? Thank you. Thank you. I feel good. I feel loved. Okay, good. So again, there's a lot of diversity in singing songs about our God. If you don't know those people, go look them up. Kirk Franklin, BB, CC. We can talk after this, okay? So anywho, I recognize though that some people in the room, you guys aren't really big fans of singing. You're like, my voice is garbage, so I cannot sing, and so therefore I don't really care about singing that much. And I would tell you guys, I cannot sing either. My wife tells me this all the time. I cannot sing. I truly love it, but I cannot sing. But praise God that the Bible does not say, make a good noise unto the Lord. It says, make a joyful noise. So I hope that gives y'all some encouragement, all right? But like I said, some of us, we just endure the singing. You know, when we come in here on a Sunday morning, we endure the singing. We come late because we're like, I don't really like singing anyway. I'll come for the message. That's why I'm here. If that's you, I would want to kind of deconstruct that a little bit in that the Bible talks heavily about singing. There are 400 references in the Bible in regards to singing and actually 50 direct commands to sing. Again, 50 direct commands to sing in the Bible. Paul says this in writing to Colossae. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So again, this is not just an Old Testament thing, it's a New Testament thing. Singing is part of the rhythm of the people of God. So why do we not just pray and preach? Why words and music and not just words alone? Why do we sing? You see, some of us fall into the category that we have to have banging worship for us to truly experience and worship God. We think that the music has to be on fire, everything has to be great, that we connect better with music. And that's not a bad thing. But some of us who maybe grew up Church of Christ in the room, we're like, music, singing, you know, all the instruments, let's get those out of here. Let's solely focus on the words. And to both of those groups, guys, I would say that music is not meant to supersede the word, and music is not meant to taint the words either, but music is meant to serve the words that we sing. We are commanded to sing, and we know that God's commands are always meant to line us up into who we are created to be. And that's always going to be for His glory and for our joy. So as I was preparing this lesson this week, I was looking over like some benefits of singing. I love singing, so I kind of Googled around, found some actual science that we have today that shows us the benefits of corporate singing. Check this out. corporate singing strengthens the immune system. Group singing is a natural antidepressant that releases endorphins and oxytocins into the system, which lowers stress levels, diminishes cortisol, improves mental clarity, and lessens feelings of depression and anxiety. Group singing helps with depression and anxiety. It can help healthy circulation by reducing blood pressure and stabilizing our heart rate. It can even improve our memory. Singing can improve our memory. Brothers and sisters, singing helps us remember. Helps us remember not just in a spiritual sense, but in a secular sense as well. I know now we have all the streaming platforms and stuff like that, but anybody remember when we had cable and you had the TV jingles in like the early 2000s? Y'all know those songs I'm talking about? So I'm going to try one, and let's see if you guys remember it, okay? Call 267-8433. Come on. Yeah. Thank you. Guys, y'all knew that. Y'all knew that, right? Thank you. I'm so glad I didn't have to do that by myself, right? So there's that one. Maybe y'all didn't know that one. What about called J.G. Wentworth? Thank you. 877 cash now. They didn't pay me to do that, guys. I'm just letting you know. These songs, these jingles, they help us remember. You probably haven't heard that, guys. 10, 15, maybe 20 years. Yet you remember these things because of songs. For the kids in the room, let's try one. Hickory dickory dock, the mouse ran up the clock. Struck one, the mouse ran down. Hickory dick. Thank you, thank you. See, so these songs, these jingles, all of these things, these tunes, they're not just the words, but it's what joins them together that helps us remember. When the Bible time and time again calls us to remember, but when the Lord says remember, it's not just something that we're supposed to bring something to mind. Remembrance is not just something that we think about. When the Lord says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, I don't think it's just saying, oh, just think about it and remember it, right? Remembering the Sabbath should play out in how we live our lives. It plays out in our actions. More on the Sabbath here in a couple weeks. Santi will be leading us through that. But again, our remembrance, guys, real remembrance, extends beyond just our thoughts, but it goes into our emotions and into our wills, all right? Hopefully this example will help. Let's say, this is a real example. It's Monday evening, me and my wife both get home from work, and we do, you know, the nightly routine of bedtime stuff. We talk about our day, we cook dinner, we eat dinner, and then we get ready for bed. And what happens, not often, but sometimes, Bryn will go to bed early, and she'll say, hey, Thomas, before you go to bed, will you remember to put the leftover food in the refrigerator? Now, some of y'all may know where this is going, but she asked me that, right? I'm like, yeah, babe, you got it. I'll put it up. She goes on the bed, put our son down. I stay up watching, you know, sports or homework, whatever I'm doing. I don't know. But what sometimes happens, not often, she might say often, but what sometimes happens is I go to bed, we wake up the next morning, and the food is still on the counter, right? I didn't remember to put the food up in the fridge. I maybe thought about it, I brought it to mind, but we know that real remembrance, if I truly remembered it, it would have displayed itself in how I acted. It displayed itself in my actions. I would have put up the food, she would have had lunch the next day, and it wouldn't have been an issue. Guys in the room, remember to put up the leftovers, okay? Anyways, y'all, true remembrance displays itself in action. And where we find ourselves today in Exodus chapter 15, it's a story, it's a song of the people of God. This song is meant to thank God for what he just did, but also for the people of God to remember what the Lord has done. All right, so if you have your Bibles, would you please stand with me as we read God's word? We'll be in Exodus chapter 15. We got a long passage, so bear with me. But Exodus chapter 15. The word of God says this. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The flood stood up in a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. But you blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The peoples have heard. They tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness of your arm. They are as still as stone. Till your people, O Lord, pass by, till the people pass by whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. That's the song. We got a few more verses. For when the horses of Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground in the midst of the sea. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. That was a mouthful, y'all. Whew. All right, so before we get into this, guys, I would like everybody to use their imagination with me for a moment. If you were here last week, JR led us through Exodus 14, and where we are right now, we're on the heels of that. Exodus 14, the people of God were, you know, they were leaving Egypt, they're leaving. And now out in front of them, they have a sea that they don't know how deep it is or how far it goes. And behind them, they have men who are angry, men who are furious, men who have lost livestock, men who have lost their sons, men who are upset because there's been bugs swarming around for who knows how long, right? These men are frustrated, and now they're coming after the people of God. But what happens? We know the story. Solely on the willpower and might of the Lord, the Israelites were able to go through the sea on dry ground. And the enemy was swallowed up by the sea. And what do we see? We see Israel's response is praise. Again, this song right here. This song is not only intended to express and excite their thankfulness for the present. This song is meant to preserve and perpetuate the remembrance of what the Lord has done. So what we're going to do today, guys, we're just going to go through some of these verses, starting at the very beginning, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2, we see that God has triumphed. The Israelites start out this song with, he has thrown the horse and the rider into the sea. And then in verse 2, we see a line that has been with the people of God through generations. Verse 2 says this, the Lord is my strength, he is my song, and he is my salvation. We see this in Psalm 118, we see this in Psalm 25, Psalm 27, and even in Isaiah chapter 12. This song, this refrain from the book of Exodus permeates throughout the story of the people of God today. What I want us to hone in on, guys, is that this story is not just their story, this is our story. This song is not just their song, this is our song. As we keep going through the song, looking at verses 3 through 10. Verse 3 through 10, we see that the Lord is a warrior, Yahweh is his name. whenever you see the Lord, guys, up here in all caps, L-O-R-D, all caps, that's meant to be an example of God's Hebrew name, his Hebrew name, Yahweh. And so we can replace that oftentimes with Yahweh. So we see that Yahweh, in his essence, he is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And so we see here what the Lord, this warrior, is doing. Pay attention here, guys, to the pronouns used in these next few verses. He threw Pharaoh's chariots. Lord, your right hand is glorious in power. Lord, your right hand shatters the enemy. You overthrow your adversaries by your great majesty. You unleash your burning wrath and the water heaped up from the blast of your nostrils. We see these things that the Lord has done. We contrast that with verse 9 and 10. We see this. The enemy says this. But I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide, my desire will be gratified, I will draw my sword, I will destroy them. And then we end this stanza of the song in verse 10. The people of God are singing about God. But you blew your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in mighty waters. Notice here what is said and what is done by whom. We see in the very beginning, these first few verses, we're talking about the magnitude of God, the actions that he took so we didn't have to. We are reminded here of what the Lord did. And then we see verse 9 of what the enemy tried to do. The enemy says, I will pursue, I will overtake, my hand will destroy them. So let me ask you guys something. Where are the people of God in this? They're singing about what God has done. They say, God, you did this. The enemy tried to do this. What did they say that they did? Guys, the people of God brought nothing to the table. They did nothing. If you go back in your Bibles in chapter 14 of Exodus, looking at verses 13 and 14, J.R. covered this last week. But Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and see that the Lord's salvation that he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you must be quiet. Brothers and sisters, it's a good thing that the Lord shatters and destroys his enemies. It's because it means that we do not have to. We don't have to be God's defenders. He can defend himself. One of the primitive ways that the people of God understood their creator is through this idea and fact that the Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. We see that in Exodus 15. The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. But now I want to be really cautious though here. And I recognize that there's people in the room who maybe this, what I'm talking about, this idea of a warrior God, this is the exact reason why you can't get down with a God of the Bible. You're saying the violence, the genocide, the choosing, because of that, how can a God be good and this simultaneously in the Old Testament be true? That's a real feeling. I want you guys to stay with me here. I want to look at this next stanza of this song, verses 11 through 13. Verse 11. Lord, who is like you among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness? With praises performing wonders, you stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. Pay attention to this, y'all. With your steadfast love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. You will guide them to your holy dwelling with your strength. So now in this song, y'all, they're comparing the gods of this world to the one true God. The first part makes sense, right? The Israelites are singing that God is holy, he is strong. You know, that's not a new concept. The Egyptians would have thought the same way about their God. But in the second part of the stanza is a brand new concept that had never been considered before in all of human history. It's the idea that a faithful, steadfast, and unconditional love. Guys, hear me when I say this. No other God in any other religion is marked by steadfast love of its objects. Again, no other God in any other religion is marked by steadfast love of its objects. We talk about this idea here at the Well a lot, this idea of this steadfastness of the Lord. It's one of my favorite ways to describe God as steadfast. It's not a love of romantic love. It's not an emotive love. It's a love of the will. A love that says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. A love that says, even when you're at your darkest, I love you. A love that says, even when you are faithless, I am faithful. A love that says, even when you don't choose me, I choose you. That's our God, a warrior God who is strong and mighty and powerful, but at the very same time, ever so near, ever so present, even when we don't deserve it. The Lord says, I am here. Come to me. I will guide you. I will keep you. Guys, again, this is not just their story, the Israelite story. This is our story. This is not just their song. This is our song. Verses 14 through 18, we won't spend too much time on, but that kind of reiterates the fact that Yahweh, our warrior God, is strong and mighty. And verse 18 ends the song with saying that the Lord will reign forever and ever. So what does this practically look like? How do we, as the people of God, bring our remembrance, bring out remembrance of what God has done? Quick story for y'all. Last Sunday, I was serving back in the kids ministry. And quick plug, if you have not served in kids ministry, y'all, and you want to serve, we need a lot of volunteers. Guys, we want to partner with y'all as we love and care for your children. But last Sunday, I was back there. I was in the first and second grade classroom. And it was fun to be back there. You know, we do the typical rhythm of we sing our songs, we have the Bible story, we have the craft, all the things. But there's one moment in that class I will never forget, like truly never forget. We're back there. It's time to come down to the carpet. And, you know, typically I think kids, whenever they bring something to the carpet, it's just to distract them so they don't have to, you know, pay attention to what's going on. I mean, yeah, they're first and second graders. But this one kid, we're all on the carpet. He's hanging out in the back, and I'm like, what is he doing? He grabs a pencil and paper, comes down to the carpet, and my co-teacher, she said, hey, what are you doing? Like, why do you have that pencil and paper? And he says, so I can remember. And y'all, in that moment, when he said that, I was just like, wow. The faith of children to say, I want to remember what the Lord has done. When I'm learning about God, when I'm learning about the things that he has done for the people of God, I want to remember. A simple thing that you and I can do, guys, that helps with remembrance, is truly just writing things down. I'm not talking about like having sticky notes everywhere. My grandma does that. She has sticky notes all over her house. But they help us remember, right? Truly, writing things down helps us remember. I started gratitude journaling about 2.5 weeks ago, y'all, and it's changed my life. And it's not something meant to be some sort of like self-help. But truly, guys, when we understand who we are and we understand whose we are, it helps us live better lives today and tomorrow. There's a pastor named Jeffrey Arthurs. He wrote a book called Preaching as Reminding. And in his book, he says this, remembrance of the past interprets the present and charts course for the future. Again, remembrance of the past interprets the present and charts course for the future. God's faithfulness, guys, is evident. So much of the time we don't see it, but if we were to truly just slow down and look for evidences of the goodness and the faithfulness and the mercy of God, we would be overwhelmed. When we truly have remembrance, guys, that doesn't just, you know, come in one ear, out one ear. Because, like, honestly, sometimes, I don't know if your kids tell you what they learn, but we teach them good stuff. And I hope that these things aren't coming in one ear and out the other ear. I hope they're not coming in one ear like, hey, Thomas, remember to put up the leftovers and out the other. I hope it actually transforms into action for what we are doing and what your children are doing, but then also what we are doing. This remembrance, guys, is not meant to just make us think about something. It's meant to display itself in action. So I want to ask you guys, This is a personal question for you. How do you best see God? How do you best experience God? How do you best remember God? For some people, it's creation. For some people, it's looking at their children. For some people, it can be beautiful art. Whatever it is, there's a multiplicity of ways that God is showing himself to us and the goodness of who he is. Something that I love, me and my wife haven't done this yet, but there's a story in the Old Testament where the people of God, they get delivered and they make this pile of rocks and they say, this is where God moved. And so what would it look like if we today as the people of God had these piles of rocks just like around our house? We're like, oh yeah, that's when God, you know, delivered me, or that's where God, you know, you were really sick and God brought you out of that. Or that's when we had this awesome time with your grandfather, whatever the case may be. There are multiple things that we can do as the people of God to truly remember his goodness, and not just, oh, so we remember it, but so it changes the way we live today. And it changes the way we live tomorrow. Thinking about the people of God, y'all, the people of God throughout the Old Testament, we're going to see this in the next week. God delivers us. We're like, thank you, God. And then we get frustrated with him. We're like, God, you know, where's the water, right? Or like, we're like, God, you know, we were eating good back in Egypt. Why did you bring us out here to die? And like, we just go through this cycle. And that's much of you and me today. But my hope and my desire is that for us, we don't be just like this cycle of praising God, going in circles, but we remember what he has done in the past. It changes the way we see today, and then it affects the way we live tomorrow. A couple of things in this chapter that are not included in the song is verses 19 through 27. The first part of this, I'm going to read it. I thought it was pretty good. It says, when Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters and the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophetess Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. He has thrown the horse and its rider into the sea. Y'all, when I was studying this week and I looked at this passage, I couldn't help but smile. So some of you guys know this. I grew up Pentecostal. And so like tambourines and dancing, like that's speaking my language. And so I imagine like they just get delivered and there's thousands of women coming out with tambourines and they are just singing and dancing. Y'all, they're singing, they're dancing, they're smiling, they're doing everything because they had just been delivered by something not that they did, but solely on what God has done. Exuberance filled the people of God. And that same exuberance, that same joy should fill you and I today. So let me ask you guys a few questions. Are you moved when you think about the goodness of God? When we come in here and we sing these songs, is it just lip service or do you mean what you were singing? Guys, when we come in here for worship, guys, it's time of worship before someone comes up here to preach. It's not just so JR or Austin can finish writing their sermon or get some more water on their throat. That's not what worship is, not just a filler. Worship is formational. We start our gatherings with a call to worship so that God gets the first word of our day. Jake is not up here to point to himself. Jake's not up here for us to think about ourselves. Jake is up here and his team's up here leading us to point us to our God. So we sit here, we gather together, and we sing songs that remind us of who God is, what he has done, and what he has promised to do. But sometimes, though, I don't want to neglect the fact that there are times when we come in here on a Sunday morning and we just don't feel like singing. We live in a world today where we're so focused on authenticity. And so if we come in here and there's songs about, you know, how God is good and we don't feel it, we choose not to sing. And let me tell you guys, that's a very, very real feeling. I felt that sometimes. But the reason why we sing is not always just for what we presently feel, but it's because we know what God has done, and we also look to the future. So much of the time we focus solely on this spot right here, and we neglect all of this and what God has promised to do in here. So again, if that's you this morning, if you came in here, just came off of this argument with your spouse or hard week at work, whatever the case may be, those are very real feelings. And we are here as the people of God to gather together to feel those things with you, but then also to sing and encourage one another. As Paul said in writing to the church of Colossae, lift up one another. It says this, I read it earlier. It says, boom, 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 boom. I can't find it, but it's Colossians 3, 15 through 16, right? We sing these songs, admonishing one another, lifting up one another with spiritual songs, giving thanks to God in our hearts. So as we get ready to come to a close, there's an old black hymn arranged by a man named James Capers. It's super simple. The words are up on the screen, but this is a simple song, guys, that I try to tell myself every single day. It says this. When I think of his goodness and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank you, God, for saving me. Time and time again, guys, the people of God, this is our cry. We see in Exodus chapter 15, the works of God, this is our song. While Moses led these people out of Egypt, you and me today, for those in Christ, we have a better Moses. We have deliverance from an enemy much greater than Egypt. We have deliverance from the depths of something much deeper than the depths of the Red Sea. We have a salvation in Jesus Christ that is not just for tomorrow, it's not just for eternity, but it's also for today. It allows us to live lives fully, joyously, to flourish in all that God has done. Talking about Jesus, the Bible says, for God made him to be sin who knew no sin in order that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus is our better Moses. Jesus is our strength. Jesus is our song. Jesus is our salvation. And so may we, as the people of God, not just be people who live today and we don't think about anything about the past, but even in the hard times of today, and that may be a hard season, not just today, it may be a hard season, but we reflect on the truths of what God has done, that remembrance shapes our today, and then again, it shapes our future. Here in a moment, guys, the band's going to come back up, and we will have a time of worship. Again, it's not just lip service. We're going to be singing these songs to remind us and to remind the people around us of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. We have four tables around the room for communion. This time is for believers to gather together and reflect on what God has done. If you are a brother or sister in Christ, you are welcome at the table. And if you are not in Christ, I ask that you abstain only because this is a family meal. When we come to the table, brothers and sisters, we don't have to clean ourselves up. We don't have to say, God, look at me, I'm good, I'm perfect, now I can take communion. No, we come in here brokenhearted. We come in here with the world and everything and all the sickness and stuff of the world. We come in here with how that affects us, knowing that one day it's going to be all better. We come in here taking communion, knowing that we did nothing to contribute to this, but solely by the choice and the will of the Father that we get to celebrate and commune with him. Let's pray together. God, we love you. We're thankful for you, God. God, I pray that you forgive us. Forgive us in times whenever we fail to reflect on your goodness, Lord. Forgive us whenever we make decisions that don't reflect the knowledge that we have of your goodness. God, we know that there is nothing better than you. There is nothing better than you, Lord. All of our lives, you have been faithful. All of our lives, you have been good. And so as we sing right now and as we leave this place, Lord, may we sing and may we proclaim the goodness of you. Lord, as we look through the story of this Old Testament, we know that what you did for Israel, Lord, in delivering them, you do that for us through your Son, Jesus. May that be our strength. May that be our song. And we know, Lord, that Jesus is our salvation, God. Help us to know this. Help us to believe this. Help us to remember this, not just in mind, but in our emotions, in how we act, in how we live our lives. May we be people of God marked by remembrance, marked by knowing your faithfulness. We love you, God. Help us to trust you. Help us to remember you. For your beautiful name, we pray. Amen.